This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 3rd of November, 1953. The title of this lecture is The Logics, Part 2, Continued. This tape is 53 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions. Please note, this tape has periodic sound distortions, as did the original master recording.
Okay, continuing with this afternoon lecture of November the 3rd. You understand, then, that consecutive shifts of anchor points make consecutive spaces. Do you understand that? Consecutive shifts of anchor points would make consecutive spaces. Oh, please don't boggle over that one. You just gave me the answer. You said if you move these 8 anchor points to 8 new locations, you'd have another space. So therefore, if you moved 1 anchor point, you would have a different space. It wouldn't be an entirely different space, but it would be slightly different. Right? And then if you moved another anchor point, you'd have a slightly different space. And if you moved another anchor point, you'd have another slightly different space. And if you moved another one, you'd have a slightly different space again. And so we get logic. And all logic concerns itself with is the shift of anchor points and the creation of new spaces. I don't say that profoundly or with a terrible snap or crunch. It just happens to be true. One of the main reasons this material about space is true is because it has a workability. You can untangle riddles of existence. You can untangle logics, and you can improve aesthetics by these drills. Now let's take a writer. We're going to make his stories better. He's been writing for the Saturday Evening Post and the American Mercury for a long time. And his stuff is getting paler and paler and paler. His word rate's more or less the same. So, what's happening to this man? He's sitting at the same desk, using the same type of paper, sending mail to the same addresses, and receiving back about the same amount in checks. And he's doing this consistently and continually. We have a minus randomity. And that will show up in minus originality. It will every time. The fellow, if he's doing a comfortable business of it, has ruined himself. If you just add a few bill collectors, believe me, you'll pick up his originality. He changed his face by giving another type of anchor point that can't be determined by himself. But he'll merely get hectic on it. Will he get better? No, he won't get better, it's right. But if we were to suddenly ship him out to that famous town called Keokuk, to the Bidewee Saloon, let him spend a few nights there as the bouncer, we could probably put him back in the same desk and the same publications, and they wouldn't have the same kind of a story from there on out. What have we done? We just give him some swiftly changing anchor points, which in their change make a pattern. Well, the Bidewee Saloon, believe it or not, can be to a writer an aesthetic. All right, now let's take a vaudeville actor that's been doing two-a-day. He's been doing two-a-day and two-a-day and two-a-day and two-a-day. Now one day we walk up and ask him to do another act. Actually, he'll want to practice this new act for some months before he puts it on, you see. But we walk up to a fellow who goes on TV. It's all different. It's got to be different. Got to be different. Got to be different. Second, we walk in on this fellow, and we give him a new act. This is routine. Why? It's just the fact that newness is routine. He expects his anchor points to shift. It isn't that one of these people is more happy than the other person. But vaudeville, by God, they had to shift these boys around from theater to theater, and they had them on tour all over the country, and they had one act on tour all over the country. Why? Because the audience wasn't going to sit there and look at this one act going on. Now, people that are very calm and are very good in the effort band will actually sit with a great deal of entertainment and watch the same act happen over and over and over again. Without really enough change in the act to bother with. They will. They watch the same act. That is, all due respect to them, God bless them, the English, and a joke. They're very calm people, really, and they'll listen to this joke from the stage. and it has a sort of a nostalgia to them. And you can tell this joke over and over and over. In other words, they're not so anxious about changing space. The perimeter of England is relatively fixed. And it's the classes are relatively fixed. Now, when you get strata, which are occupiable strata, and a fellow has a freedom within a strata, it is a superior condition to having a freedom amongst a certain fixed set of anchor points to having a completely random set of anchor points, none of which you can determine. So we get the determination of anchor points coming about as becoming accustomed to anchor points. One will substitute becoming accustomed to anchor points for being able to self-determine the existence of the anchor points. You see? Now, this is a child being born in a town. It's a new town, brand new town. But there's the town hall and the graveyard and the church. And as he goes along, he merely becomes accustomed to these anchor points. And he becomes accustomed to them because they keep on staying there. And as long as he changes, and they change only as the seasons and corrosion and erosion and new graves and a new steeple and so forth occur, why, it's all right, perfectly calm, peaceful. But now if you get erratic changes, if he gets up one morning and the damn church is on the other side of town, or it's gone. Well, gloom settles over everything. Here's an accustomed anchor point. People will use a consistency amongst a great deal of randomity to peg down and pin down a piece of space which is unalterable. And they go around and look for an unalterable, apparently unalterable piece of space in order to judge the motion of other pieces of space. So an actual anchor point, in its most absolute sense, would be an unalterable point against which you could join all or figure out all other pieces of space. And for the first part of anybody's life, he normally has such an anchor point. His hometown or something of the sort. But where you moved a kid around an awful lot in his early years, he loses this fixed anchor point, and he starts to get all anchor points as random. And you've got to give him something to pin and judge other anchor points by. Well, he's noticed the mobility of his own body. And so he accepts mobility of everything, but the mobility of the body as less so. Space opera is terribly aberrative. Nobody knows where the hell he is. There is no fixed anchor point. He goes charging around one end of a galaxy or the other end of a galaxy and so forth, he might get some sentimental attachment to a star. The darn thing would go out on him the second he gets up toward the speed of light. They change color, they go out, they disappear, he's out of that system, he's into another system, he's around and about. Very, very aberrative. Space opera you'll find hung up on anybody who pings on an e-meter about space opera. It's hung up, it's in suspension. I tell you that the nose of a ship and the tail of a ship, which ship is relatively destructible and often is, are darn poor anchor points. And guys who go ashore on a planet, go into a planet and so forth, very often come back to the ship in a remarkably altered condition if they return at all. So you've got constantly shifting friends, which are other anchor points if mobile, constantly shifting this and constantly shifting that. When we get friends down to a point, we find that friends are mobile. We find out that somebody can have a concept of having friends as long as he can have a concept of being able to have an anchor point which is not mobile. As soon as all of his anchor points become mobile, undependable, he's moved around and shifted around. This is just visio we're talking about. It isn't entering a bunch of symbols into his head or anything, you see. I mean, we're just looking at an anchor point. He's got an anchor point. This anchor point's a small mountain to the south of town. Once in a while, when he runs to feel real calm, he's liable to find himself taking a walk down there and sitting down on it. That's right. When he wants to feel real calm about life, he wants to go for a walk or think something over, you go to the other down on that small mountain. Now, because anchor points get so mobile, and because he loses anchor points so suddenly and inexplicably, Papa dies. Bang, there goes an anchor point. Believe me, He's even lost an anchor point, which was a mobile anchor point. Well, that's real bad. Why, everything sort of starts caving in on him from that point on. And so, an uncertainty about anything is an uncertainty of an anchor point. Well, if you tie, as we go back to the early part of this lecture, if you see knowledge and workability in a certain set of anchor points, let's say a book, Dianetics, Modern Science, and Mental Health, and you say, there is something, there at least is an anchor point, you say, this has got a lot of rationalization about anchor points and what happens, and I can see some truth in this thing. In other words, I can get some certainty out of this. And you say, there is that anchor point. Even though it floats around, it keeps appearing and so forth, this is an interesting anchor point. See? If other people keep hammering and pounding on you hard enough about that anchor point not being an anchor point and it being uncertain and, well, they don't know, and so forth, of course, that anchor point goes by the boards. One of the meanest tricks that thetans do to thetans is take away the stability of the anchor point. Do you see any difference between invalidating a subject and stealing an anchor point? Or moving an anchor point around and painting it a different color? Now, you know, there was a terrible howl went up in a small town I know about. There was a beautiful copper dome they had on the state capitol. The state capitol sat up above the plain, and it was a very beautiful copper dome. It had been there for many years. It had gotten rather green, but that was quite the way it should be, patina. And one day they hired a new janitor for the state capitol, and this guy breaks out a pot of aluminum paint and goes up there on the scaffolding and aluminum paints the state capitol dome. Honest to Pete, if he'd taken the town's leading citizen and shot him down in his tracks, he probably would have had a little notoriety out of it anyway. They would have put him in jail. They probably, under that guise, because this town is out west, they might even have given him a medal or been interested or thought the good old days had come back or been opinion on him, diversified opinion. People would have said, well, that number one citizen's a dog in a lot of respects anyway, and they'd argued about it. But boy, as one person, that town said he must go. There were volunteer crews going up there to the Capitol immediately with brushes and all sorts of ideas as to how you remove the aluminum paint. Well, that man probably hasn't been in that state since. He probably just kept going. Now, thetans will pull this trick. They will often destroy an anchor point so that they can set up as an anchor point. And you'll see the evolution of subjects, the evolution of governments and so forth, much more plainly if you see it in that light. Hitler comes along and bombs some of the main areas in Europe. And then he sets himself, in the form of symbols of soldiers, up as a different anchor point. It's almost workable. But the trouble is, he never set up anchor points bigger than the anchor points he destroyed. You know, all he would have had to have done, actually, this really isn't much of a trick. If he blew down a cathedral, why, he should have been in there with a bigger cathedral. And although people would have hated the guts out of that new cathedral, he should have made it good enough and big enough so nobody could have knocked it over easily. And they would have tried to have knocked it over or bombed it over or done something to that big cathedral, but they wouldn't have been able to do it. At the moment they weren't able to do that, they would have accepted German rule throughout Europe, if that had happened here and there throughout Europe. German rule would have been accepted. But he never put back anything but somebody walking around in a pair of tight pants and a tunic. People didn't appreciate these fellows. They shot him wholesale. See? He took out anchor points. If I were going to do anything to a country, to take over a country, or if I were actually terribly serious about overthrowing a regime, even in the field of psychotherapy, believe me, I would never putter around the edges and really try to teach people the truth of the matter. I'd just simply use this very formula. I'd put in the biggest goddamn sanitarium you ever saw, sitting in the middle of everything, see? Oh, big, huge anchor point sitting down, and then I would claim that anchor point was all of psychotherapy and had been put up by psychotherapy. People way off in the far distance could have been said, but
There's nobody there that's a psychiatrist. We're the psychiatrists out here. I mean, and we have this sanitarium and that sanitarium, and we have a big association. Nobody would have believed him. And you actually had gone in for a kill on the subject of that. You really would have, preferably something with tall towers, you know, so it's got altitude, and something that looked awfully solid. Tall towers that nothing could have disturbed. You could have run into them with an atom bomb, and they still would have been there. I've forgotten who it was. I think it was Praxiteles, no less, but offered. I may be wrong about this, but I read it in a book one time, which was not of very good repute. But I have since heard an echo of it, and I read an echo of it in other books on history. But somebody offered for some fantastic sum, like 10,000 talents, to cut a statue of Alexander the Great out of a mountain in Macedonia. 10,000 talents, and a talent is about $1 million or something on that order. I don't know what a talent was. Somewhere in there. This huge memorial. Tremendous memorial. And everybody thought that was too conceited, and Alexander shouldn't do that, and he didn't. As a matter of fact, for almost 1,500 years, it was firmly considered in Europe that Alexander was only a myth. Yet the man left a town called Alexandria. That town wasn't big enough. Caesar burned down his library and the anchor points. But, you know, the Pharaoh, the Pharos in the harbor there, the big lighthouse? Well, believe me, in most languages in the world, a lighthouse is one of those things. People really know that anchor point. You get most books concern themselves with the seven wonders of the world. These were anchor points. If you understand them as anchor points, you can see the thirst for an anchor point. And this is the thirst for solidity. And the second the fellow gets himself confused with being an anchor point, he gets himself confused with having to be solid. And tries immediately to start throwing out all space in order to achieve enough solidity so that he will be an anchor point for a lot of viewpoints. Well, how does this come about? How does he go into this starting to be an anchor point? Very easily. All anchor points become unstable for him. He loses his stable anchor points so that he only has one anchor point left, his body. Then he'll try to make that body solid because he hasn't got any anchor points. Savvy? You can see people doing this. Or he can't look at that body because he's setting it up to be looked at. And so we get the thirst for people in yanking in facsimiles for solidity, for all of this. It's an actual thirst. It's a craving to be solid. And you come along, snot at you, and start to run space on this fellow. What's he trying to do? He's trying to be solid. Why? He hasn't got any anchor points. Where's his certainty? Gone. Where is he? How the hell does he know? He can't see his body, and he has no fixed anchor points. Now, if you were to go into a local area, a small town of Bimberg, and you were to find some of the older citizens of Bimberg, you would find out that they would step out of their heads, bang. Why? Well, there's a mountain on the north side of town, and there's a couple of silos on the south side of town that have been there since hell froze over. And it's all real ancient. Nobody has done anything to the graveyard there. In other words, it's liberally sprinkled with old, solid anchor points. Now, it doesn't matter how many new anchor points got put in the area, as long as they don't completely overawe the old anchor points. That is, are they must be bigger, more solid. So in Bimberg, they theta clear easily. But let's take the Plains town. Just take the Plains town of Wichita. Very changing. Industrialism hit it recently. Busan's fact is it's the biggest growing town. There isn't an anchor point anywhere around there. The river that goes through there customarily and continually flops out of its banks. It won't even stay put as an anchor point. It's mobile. Everything's mobile. Bridges, they're mobile. Poof, they go out in floods. The buildings that are there, there's some old buildings in town, but they've been completely dwarfed by new buildings. No old settler can go around and put his finger on anything in Wichita to amount to anything. Why? It's on a flat plain. The only thing there that's remarkable is that river. And it, as I say, is not a stable point. Well, you're not going to do much easy clearing in Wichita. They're stuck. Everybody's trying to get as solid as possible, and the town is trying to pull in as many inhabitants as possible and get as solid as possible. And everything's trying to get as solid as possible from all directions. Sure, they'll acquire anything new so they can be more solid. Now, you're going to theta clear somebody, or you're going to do something easily in Wichita, right, that doesn't have any anchor points. Oh, no, you're not. If you want to really clear somebody, you go on out to... Well, I'll tell you where they clear pretty easily is Phoenix. The people around Phoenix clear pretty easily. They got the Camelback. Boy, that's a big anchor point. But there's one thing wrong with Phoenix. It's all new settlers. See, I mean, people come in there who already lost their anchor points, and now they're trying to put down new anchor points. But it's a good place to, because there are several big bumps on the plain around there, and there are several things that are apparently unalterable. I learned this, by the way, an actual test in Europe, on the plains of France, where anchor points have just been knocked to glory. So, you have a confused condition. People are confused. And up in the mountains of Spain, although they're kind of hostile and kind of suspicious and awful damned independent, nobody's moved those mountains around and nobody's moved the population around for the longest time. You say, be 3 feet back of your head. The fellow says, okay. He's 80 years old. He says, okay. Why don't you fix up the body? Why? Well, don't you have any aches and pains from it once in a while? Well, fix them up. Why? Well, go ahead, fix them up. Oh, all right. Yeah, I can see better. Completely unconcerned. But if you were to walk in there with a big bulldozer and say you were going to take down one of those mountains, no. Those messed anchor points are much more important to these people than they are as bodies important. Mountain people have a tendency to be lanky, thin. Plains people have a tendency to be fat. The difference between pulling in the anchor point. How many anchor points has this fellow had, and how much have they been disturbed? Now, so you better clear up the situation about anchor points with a pre-clear so that you can find where he is. You'll find out that most of the pre-clears you ask won't know where they're not, much less where they are. All right, the gradient scale of certainty is any place you can find him certain of anything, of course. Survive, dynamics, thought, emotion, effort. And you can start in on some of the most idiotic certainties in order to get a high-grade certainty. You can say, move that desk. Fella does. You say, did you apply any effort to move it? I sure did. He certainly has effort. All right, now let's feel the end of your nose with your hand. Feel that? Yup. These are funny things. Nobody ever asked you to do this sort of thing. Now, you say, now look at something. Well, of course, if he's looking through the body at something, his level of certainty on it is the same as the body's level of certainty on it. Maybe a little less so. But if you just say, look out of your head now and see if you can locate any parts of the room, very often the fellow will do so without any business or monkey business about being back of his head or anything else. You just say, close your eyes and take a look at the room. A lot of guys just will. There's no reason why he couldn't see the room. All right, so we've got then another band that you've been neglecting to some degree. He can be certain of what he feels when he can't see. Well, let's make a test of that. From inside your head, look at the end of your nose. You see it? Well, let's feel it. You feel it? There you are. Give you any idea of certainty that it's there? Huh?
I already knew it was there.
Yeah, sure, you already knew it was there. Well, let's just find out something else. What don't you know in your body is there? Let's assess your body.
Some internal gland, maybe.
What internal gland don't you think is there?
Well, it is, but I can't say it's
which is it?
Oh, that's the liver.
Liver.
Yeah.
Can't be sure the liver's there? Let's feel the liver. Where is it?
Supposed to be right around in here somewhere.
Oh, it's supposed to be. Where isn't it?
Well, this isn't where it isn't.
All right, where isn't it?
Well, it's not in the chest.
All right, where else isn't it?
Stomach,
where
head,
else?
Shoulders, feet, hands.
You know that?
You can eliminate all that.
All right, let's eliminate it. All right, where else isn't it?
Not all there is left is where it's supposed to be.
No kidding. Well, let's be above it. Let's feel around above it. Compare it with the ashtray out there. From inside your head, reach out and feel the ashtray. Now feel where your liver's supposed to be. Now feel the ashtray.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
Now feel where your nose is. Now feel the ashtray. Feel where your nose is. Feel the ashtray. Feel where your nose is. Feel your knee. Feel where your nose is. Feel your knee. Feel your nose. Feel your knee. Feel the ashtray. Feel your nose. Feel the seat of your pants. Feel your knee. Feel the ashtray. Feel your nose. Feel the two back corners of the room. I didn't say look at them now. I said feel them. Feel your nose. Feel the two back corners of the room. Feel your nose. Feel your nose?
Sure.
Tell me when you do. Feel the two back corners of your room.
Feel at them.
Feel at them. Okay, feel your nose. Yeah. Feel the rim, back rim of your chair where it isn't touching your body. Feel your nose. Feel the back rim of the chair that's back of your body. Feel your nose. Feel the ashtray. Feel the back rim of the chair. The two back corners of the room. Feel your nose. Feel your kneecap. What do you get?
Feel the nose and kneecap.
Let's feel that ashtray. Let's feel the back of the chair. Feel the two back corners of the room. Feel the ashtray. Feel the two back corners of the room. Feel the ashtray. Feel the two back corners of the room. Feel the ashtray. Anybody around here that isn't can exteriorize, will exteriorize and do this exercise. Feel the two back corners of the room. Feel his microphone up here. Feel the two back corners of the room. Feel the microphone. Feel the two back corners of the room. Feel your kneecap. Feel the two back corners of the room. Feel your kneecap. Feel the ashtray. Feel your kneecap. Feel the ashtray. Feel your kneecap. Feel the ashtray. Feel your kneecap. Feel the two back corners of the room. Feel the end of your nose. Feel your ears. Feel the two back corners of the room. Feel your ears. Two back corners of the room. Feel your ears. Two back corners of the room, feel your ears. What's happening? You're getting a better or worse impression of the two back corners of the room?
No better. No worse.
All right.
I don't trust myself anyway.
That's correct. All right. Now, where aren't you in the world?
Lots of places.
Where?
I'm not in Salt Lake City.
You're not in Salt Lake City?
Well,
good. Where aren't you in the past?
Where am I not?
Yes, remember this question. Where is he not in the past?
Well, he's not in the islands.
What islands?
Marianne.
Which one?
Guam.
Which part of Guam?
Aganya Harbor, Northwest.
Aganya?
Mm-hmm.
Petey?
Mm-hmm.
Are you in the warehouse of Petey?
Mm-hmm.
Aganya?
Mm-hmm.
Government House? Sumai?
No.
Umatic?
No. In the telephone
office. Telephone. You're not any of those places in the past.
No, I was there.
Are you there in the past now?
Yes.
Are you there in the past now?
No.
No. Are you in the past anywhere?
Beach.
Beach. Are you here in the past?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, I see. You're here in the past a little bit. All right. Are you in the City Hall in Camden in the past?
No.
Are you in Philadelphia in the past?
No, right here.
Are you here in the past? Where?
Right here in this chair.
This chair?
Right.
All right. Philadelphia. You in the past?
No.
Are you here in this chair in the past?
Yeah.
Philadelphia in the past?
No.
No? How about your hometown in the past? Are you there?
No.
You certain of it?
Yeah.
You're certain you're here in the past?
Yeah.
You're certain you're here in the past?
Yeah.
Well, we've got a new certainty. All right, are you in your head?
Mm-hmm.
Are you back of your head?
No.
Are you in front of your face?
No.
To the right of your body?
No.
To the left of your body?
No.
Are you below your body?
No.
Are you under your chair?
No.
Are you in front of your legs?
No.
Are you in your shoes? Are you in your shoes?
No.
Are you in the past in your body?
No.
Are you in your head in the past? Come on, are you or aren't you?
I don't know.
Are you in the street in the past?
No.
Are you in this room in the past?
Yes.
Are you in your head in the past?
I don't know.
Where's the past?
The last look I had.
The last look? Where'd you take this last look?
At Mizo.
Where are you?
Where am I?
Oh, you're in the last look you had.
That's right. Far as it seems.
Oh, okay, you're in the last look you had. Okay. Now, let's take the last look you have and tailor it up. It's too much fancier anchor points than you have there. Get it much fancier.
Too fancier?
Oh, duplicate it.
The room?
Duplicate the last look you had. Duplicate it again. Duplicate it again. Duplicate it again. Blow up the last duplicate. Blow up the next last duplicate. Duplicate it again. Duplicate it again. Duplicate it again. Duplicate it again.
Yeah.
Blow up the last duplicate.
Yeah.
Blow up the rest of the duplicates.
Yeah.
Blow up the look.
Yeah.
Let's get your nose and your kneecap with a couple of anchor points.
Yeah, they're later.
Huh?
They're later.
They're later, huh? Okay. Now, are you in the past here?
No.
Are you or aren't you?
No.
You're not in the past here. Wow, it's real interesting.
I could get the present time like this.
Huh?
My nose,
oh, you can do that. Would you have to feel with your finger?
No.
All right, feel with your finger. Now feel it from inside your head. Feel with your finger. Feel it from inside your head. Feel with your finger. Now feel it from inside your head. Now have your nose feel your finger. Now have the nose feel you from inside your head. Well, we found where the limiter is. Yep.
I can tell you what it is.
What it is?
Well, if I feel my toe or any part of my body, it will receive sensation. Or I can receive sensation from it, but I can't receive anything in those corners without looking at it or reaching out with my hands.
Oh, I see. We'll put some sensation in them and get some sensation back. Thin, though. All right, put some more sensation in and get some sensation back. Put some sensation now in your nose and get the sensation back. Now have your nose be angry at you and get the sensation of your nose being angry at you.
Yeah.
Now just simply feel your nose. Get some sensation in the back corners of the room and feel it back again. Got it?
Well, I don't get it in the back. I'm trying to figure out
the sensation. Okay. That's something for you fools. But look at here. Let's get this now. Get the, close your eyes. Feel the end of your nose. Back of your chair.
Well, I'm in.
Well, feel it where you're not leaning on it.
I just know it's there.
Well, how do you know it's there?
Well, it was there the last time I looked, and nobody's taken it away.
Oh, you think this is it?
It's still there.
All right. Now let's think at the back of the chair.
All right, think where you are. Think at the back of the chair. Is it there?
Sure.
At the back of the chair, thinking it's you.
About what?
Where aren't you thinking of something in the universe? Or where particularly?
I'm thinking of.
Where aren't you thinking of in the universe? Where aren't you thinking in the universe? I said that now. Where aren't you thinking in the universe? Are you not?
As far as thinking in something's concerned, except the head.
Yeah, well, name one place where you aren't thinking.
I'm not thinking out on the sidewalk.
Whereabouts on the sidewalk?
Any part of it, I'm thinking of it.
You're thinking of it is different than thinking there.
Yeah.
All right, now how about thinking on the sidewalk?
You get an idea.
How about thinking here? All right, let's think at the sidewalk.
I got it.
Mm-hmm. Let's think at the chair.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know the chair is there?
This body is sitting in it. I can feel the body.
You can feel the body, and the body can feel the chair. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
All right, why don't you just directly feel the chair? Now feel the end of your nose. Now feel the tip of your chin.
Mm-hmm.
Now feel your forehead.
Mm-hmm.
Feel the top of your head.
Mm-hmm.
Feel underneath your chin.
Mm-hmm.
Feel the back of your head. Feel the front of your head, back of your head, back of your shoulders, top of your head, back of your shoulders. Feel the back of your head in front of you. Feel the front of your face in front of you, back of your head in front of you. Front of your face in front of you. Back your head in front of you. All right, now let's think in the body. Let's think from in back of the head. Think from in the body. Think in the back of the head. Think inside the body. Think from back of the head. Think inside the body. Think from back of the head. Think inside the body. Think from back of the head. Think inside the body. Think from back of the head. Think inside the body. What are you doing?
I'm trying to think in the back of the head, and I am thinking inside of it.
Mm-hmm. You're certain of that?
Yes.
All right, let's feel the back of the head in front of you.
Well, I see it, but I don't.
All right, feel the two upper corners of the room forward. Feel the two forward corners of the room. Feel your nose. Two forward corners. Feel your nose. Feel the two forward corners. Feel your nose. Feel the two forward corners. Feel your nose. Feel the outside sleeve of your jacket. Feel your nose. Feel the outside of your jacket sleeve. Feel your nose. The outside of your jacket sleeve. Feel your nose. Outside of your jacket sleeve, feel your nose. Outside of your jacket sleeve, feel your nose. Do that?
Nope, I don't know what it feels like.
Get any impression of it?
Nope.
Hmm?
No, I know what it feels like.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just this kind of process, and all we're trying to, that's all. It's just this kind of process that we're doing. What are we doing? We're doing extroversion, introversion on thinking, extroversion, introversion on effort, extroversion, introversion on feeling, extroversion, introversion on looking. In cases you should pick them up or somewhere in that band, one way or the other, we're getting feeling here pretty good. Now you just keep going on feeling. What's he certain he can feel? That's all. Well, if he can't be certain he's feeling anything, let's get certain he's not feeling something. What don't you feel like where you are?
Well, there's anesthesia there on the body that I don't feel.
Where's that?
On my legs.
What else aren't you feeling?
The rest of this place.
Rest of what?
The universe.
Well, let's not get so general. Let's take out some space in it.
The lamp.
You're not feeling the lamp. Yeah. What is feeling? What is feeling?
What is feeling? Well, the way I'm taking it right now is to touch something and get the sensation to touch it.
All right. What's thinkingness?
Oh, that's just grinding stuff up.
Thinkingness is grinding stuff up.
Yeah, that's about all the definition I can give it.
Oh, are you where you think you are?
Yeah.
Where do you think you are?
Right here.
Where's the lamp? Think you're in the lamp.
I'm not.
Okay, well, think you are. Can't you get the thought? I'm in the lamp.
Yeah, I can think I'm in the lamp.
Well, all right, let's think you're in the lamp. We're not asking you to see the lamp.
Oh, no, I know.
You know, you don't know. We don't want you to think you feel the lamp. We don't want you to get any feeling on the lamp. We don't want you to get any emotion on the lamp. We don't want you to get any error. We just want you to think you're in the lamp. Got thinking you're in the lamp?
Yes.
All right, now think you're in the lamp. Yeah. Think you're in your head.
I am.
Okay, think you're in the lamp. Think you're out over the sidewalk. Think you're in your head. Think you're over the sidewalk. Think you're in your head.
I am.
Think you're over your head, the sidewalk. What's happening?
Who almost slipped?
Think more.
I almost said I am.
Well, let's let it go at the moment, because this tape's almost gone. All right, here we have your feeling is condensed looking, effort is condensed feeling, and thinking is condensed effort. And if you've got somebody who is so scared of effort smiting him, if he lets go, the first thing you can do is disabuse him of being somewhere else in the universe than where he is. And just get him absolutely sure that he is someplace. And then having gotten him sure that he isn't someplace else, and at least has a good idea where he is, you've got certainty on this, you see, you just turn around then and start up the band. Now, this will invert several times. See, because you don't quite know where the freak is the tone scale. But somewhere, he can look. Now, let me make a couple of brief remarks about a case that should be dead. Only I've been processing in the morning for a short time every morning. Here, two or three mornings. And I'll mention another case, too, before I'm through. This case is terribly antagonistic. Probably will remain so. Probably will have no good word to say for anybody. Scientology. But the point is that I gave her a drill which went like this. Where aren't you? Stuck. All right, where aren't you in the past? Home. Certain of that. Now, where else aren't you in the past? Two or three other places. Certainty. All right, where else aren't you? And she finally narrowed it down, found out she wasn't in the corners of the room. Then she found out, but first she thought she was sure she was in Europe. And here, too. And in South America, and here, too. She was all over this. This was 50 years worth of mysticism that managed to butter her all over the universe. She wasn't sure at all that she wasn't all of these places. So, as we went along the line, we got sure she wasn't in all these places, and then she was sure she wasn't in more and more local places. And then, by golly, all of a sudden, triumphantly, she says, "You know, I'm not under my chair." And after I'd done that for a short time, I gave her a drill. The drill just had to do with feeling the front two arms of the chair and then feeling the back two sides of the chair and the front two arms of the back two sides with her hands. See? Just feeling that. And then feeling her eyeballs with her fingers and then feeling them from inside of her head. And then the front two arms of the chair and the back two arms of the back two sides of the back of the chair with her hands, and then feeling the two back corners of the room, two back lower corners of the room, two front corners of the room, feeling these things, and the two front lower corners of the room. We just went around and around on this drill. And she was 3 feet back of her head the next time I asked her. I got her there by merely asking her to feel the back of her head in front of her. She did immediately. She had finally stabilized, finally gotten her certain that she was in her head. Being certain she was in her head, she could then be back of her head. Malcolm in back of her head. She was asked to perform the same exercise of making the hands feel the two front arms of the chair, the back two points of the chair, and then the four corners above and the four corners below on the room. She got terrific impressions of plaster. Didn't see a thing. She got all this impression. She was cheered up. She was getting more and more certain, and so forth. Because remember, thinking this and feeling this are still two points of certainty. But we were adding effort in there by getting her to press her hands against the chair, by asking her to feel it with her hands. We were squeezing effort in without noticing it. All right. Went round and round on this, and all of a sudden her vision picked up, and she came out of the blur with her messed eyes. Came out of the blur. Then it flicked off again, then it flicked on again, then it flicked off and flicked on. Time she was leaving, she left, she was still flicking on and off. By the way, another girl was about to get a prefrontal lobotomy. She showed up here a few days ago. I meant to tell you about this. Husband was insisting she get a prefrontal lobotomy, and everybody was insisting she get at least electric shocks and so forth, because she was very confused inside of her head. She was a step one exteriorizer. She operated just beautifully outside of her head. Relatively short session, just gorgeously, and then I ran confusion drills, just like I gave you as a demonstration earlier in the class, having people appear and then having explosions appear and distract her attention and so forth, and her attention was getting better and better. But when I was running these subjective techniques, her tone, which had picked up while I was just drilling her and change of space processing and certainty on being there, her tone dropped, and she dropped back into a bit of confusion. So I had to give her more drills to stabilize her externally. When she was about to go, she came back into her head again, and an overwhelming confusion hit her. Asked her to be back of her head and adjust her balance mechanisms in the skull. They were all out of gear. She'd been struck several times recently with this, and it knocked her balance mechanisms out of the ears. She adjusted the energy which controlled them and ran them and so forth, and this dizziness passed. This person is more sane than an awful lot of people I've seen lately, and yet the psychiatrist had bullied and screamed at her to a point where he had her completely convinced, her husband had her completely convinced, he ought to immediately go have a prefrontal lobotomy. She was step one, total session, half an hour or something. Fantastic. That shows you that they don't even care whether they're sane or not, or whether they're crazy or not. You know, we got to get a hole in that skull. That's the motto today. We can't burn one in with electricity. We can drill one in with a brazen bed. I meant to tell you about that case because it's quite notable. The girl came here. She was calm. External look of her was calm. The second she began to communicate, her voice was not that loud. And she was disassociated kind of badly. She knew enough to come down here. That's about all she knew. And she stumbled around and so forth. But if processing snapped right out the second she was outside, the balance mechanisms were then not influencing her areas of beingness. You know, so she could drill all over the place, and then she got very good tone, and we adjusted those balance mechanisms, she felt a lot better. Told her to call me the next day if she didn't feel well, and I haven't heard from her. But if anybody gave her an electric shock or prefrontal lobotomy, it would be under the heading of assault. I mean, because there's no, absolutely nothing there in this case to indicate insanity. She wasn't insane, not even vaguely. Makes you wonder once in a while, isn't it? I wonder what the name of the girlfriend was hubby wanted. Hubby had merely kept after, week after week, telling her she was crazy and ought to have something done to her. That's all was wrong with her. Somebody had been telling her she was crazy. Got her to go to a psychiatrist, and he roared and screamed across the desk, and I suppose he had a couple hundred bucks in his pocket. I wouldn't say the thing smelled or was crooked. I wouldn't say it. It was a put-up job. I wouldn't say that out loud, maybe because it's not polite, not because it's not true. But here is exteriorization. If we treated her on running engrams and inside the body, so on, it would have been a long, hard slug because she was already convinced that she was crazy. But immediately on exteriorization, orienting her where she could find herself, straighten herself out, get anchor points, add up what the score was, immediately she knew too she wasn't crazy, complete certainty.
Okay. Now, any questions on this process? You can have a fellow can think he's someplace if he's the one determining thinking. But if he thinks he's someplace when somebody else is determining the thinking, he's liable to be all over the whole flam-damn universe. So you have to get him over somebody else getting him to think he's someplace. Now, delusion is simply seeing some other place. That's all. Seeing a mock-up of space, something like that. That's delusion. So you get him over thinking that he's looking at something else than what he's looking at, just by asking him where he isn't. And you whittle this down to a point where he knows he's in the body. Well, you've already knocked into thinkingness and knowingness into that level. Now let's get him on thinkingness, drill himself around, and on feelingness to get acquainted. You see, after we got him in the body, then with feelingness, let's orient him somewhat in the body. You'll find out this will turn on better and better and better. And then we'll get him by thinkingness to be a few places, just think he's someplace. Boy, he sure gets sure after a while that he thinks he's someplace else. And then we go on up into feeling, and we go on up into looking. And with such a case, we minimize this business about looking.
How about a bracket on thinking where one is, having other people thinking or something?
No, I'm sure that would be quite workable. You ought to experiment with it a little bit. Actually, it isn't that complex a problem. You'll find that's not that complicated a problem. It's a very simple problem. You get him to, where doesn't he think he is? Well, he's liable to think he's every place. But you'll be surprised in two or three questions how he doesn't think he's any place, but where he is. Now, in this process, you're going to invert and invert and invert. In other words, he'll get sure, and then you'll find out how much surer he can get than sure. And he'll get as sure as he can put out a lightning bolt in his own manufactured space that'll blow down somebody else's anchor point. A good test on this would be the Pentagon building. Okay, that's all set.